Right now it is time for Main Street Magazine on Robinhood Radio. And once again, we welcome in Thorin, Chief Cook and Bottle Washer at Main Street Magazine.
Oh, for sure.
Well, Jill and I know that title really well, so.
It goes with the territory, right?
It does. It does go with the territory. Well, anyway, nice to have you along this morning.
Thank you.
It's the 20th of October, so we'll talk a little bit about what's in this month, but also kind of look and see if we can get a preview of next month. This month, of course, has been History Month.
It has been, and I think we covered almost everything in that issue, but if there's anything you'd like to revisit, you know,
I'd
love to.
A couple things we didn't talk about, and the reason I want to talk about them is because one applies to me from many years ago, one applies to everybody nowadays, and that is you had the story on Ruggie's Automotive, and the first new car I ever purchased was when I was living in Kingston, New York. And I bought a Subaru back when nobody purchased Subarus. Nobody knew about Subarus. They were, and Ruggie's became a Subaru dealer. And I bought the cutest little two-door yellow Subaru. Yellow, bright yellow, canary yellow with a tan interior. And that little Subaru traveled for, I think, about 200 and some odd thousand miles.
Sounds like a Subaru.
It was my first car. It was small. I did have a wife and two kids, and we still went to Florida a couple of times in it. So I've just been familiar with Ruggies for a long time, and you know one of the things we didn't talk about is that they got the Multifamily Enterprise of the Year award.
They did, and we just had a story on our website about that, but we actually had an in-depth story about them. I think it was actually this past May in our transportation issue where we interviewed Mrs. Ruggie herself, or that's her maiden name, but she is the head of it, and her, I think it was her grandfather who founded it originally. I think it was her father, if I'm remembering correctly now, who brought in the Subaru franchise. But as you said, no one at the time really knew of Subaru, but he was very excited about it and believed in it, and is the one who brought it to the Hudson Valley and beyond. And I can't remember the number from that she told us in the article. However, during that time when they opened the franchise, there was such a small number of Subaru franchises throughout the United States, and they were one, you know, of like I think two in the whole Northeast.
Well,
so that's pretty incredible.
What I remember about is when I purchased it back then, folks. This is funny because I was working in radio, and this is how long ago it was. My monthly salary before I got married, my monthly salary was $360 a month.
Oh my goodness.
This was a long time ago. And when I got married, my employer raised it up to $600 a month because the two kids and everything. And I had always, I had a car that my mother had given me. And so this was my first real new car. And when I was buying it, the only option I got on it was, back then they used to put undercoating on cars if you wanted to. And that's the only option I got on it. It had an AM radio, rolled down windows, but the thing ran forever and ever and ever. So that's why when I saw the story about Ruggies, I had to pass that along, because yes, they were, people asked me, what would I buy a car that nobody could service with except for Ruggies back then? That's how long ago it was. But I think I paid $2,800 for that car.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, that's how long ago it was. It was a long, long time ago. The other story, which we really didn't touch on, and this is where we're lucky around here, not only with the Dutchess County Sheriff's Office in Columbia County and here in Northwest Connecticut and in South Berkshire County, our sheriff's departments, police departments, get involved in phone scams. And once again, you had a big story on the phone scam, which impersonated Dutchess County Sheriff's Office deputies. You just never know how well a scam works until once you see it publicized by the organization that's being scammed, you know it must have worked and fooled some people.
Precisely. And I don't know if you've heard of it, but, you know, since February, really, there has been an uptick in all types of scams with, you know, COVID and whatnot. And so this is here one locally that the Dutchess County Sheriff made us aware of. And so we had an online story with that just to let people know about it in case they get a phone call themselves. And the Dutchess County Sheriff's Department was kind enough to give us the information and give us a couple of quotes so that we could help spread the word about it. But it's you know, it's kind of scary and it's upsetting too, you know, especially some of the folks that they target, you know, in these scams. And and I don't know about you, but you know, the amount of spam calls that one gets, and you know, it's just ridiculous to, you know, think of the objective that some of these folks have and that they're trying to scam innocent people and good people. And it's just, it's a very upsetting. So here's one locally, and the sheriff gave us a couple points that folks can find on our website in the article to, you know, look out for, and what are the signs that it's a scam.
All right, so now let us just take a brief look ahead, what you've got planned for next month, some of the highlights that'll be coming up next month.
So our November issue for the last, 4 years, 5 years now, has been our art and design issue. So we are actually hopefully sending that to the printer today. And so our focus is always on art design. That doesn't mean necessarily, you know, fine art or, you know, but we have a kind of like most of our subjects, you know, our topics that we have when we focus a certain, you know, an article or, I'm sorry, an issue on specific topics, we kind of, you know, brush it with a broad stroke. And so we kind of focus on things related to creativity and artsy things. And of course, you know, our artist profile obviously is a shoo-in for that. But all of our articles somehow focus around the subject. And it's always been a fun issue and a creative one for obvious reasons. And, you know, folks seem to like it, especially, you know, our artsy community. So we're, as I said, I think we're going to press today if all the stars align.
All right. So when you go to press today, that means it'll probably be out really more towards the end of the month, the first week of the next month?
Yeah, our printer, she usually needs, you know, 7 to 10 business days to turn it around and get it to us. And then, you know, we need two, three days to get it out everywhere because our distribution is obviously tri-state and, you know, about, I don't know, 30-mile radius of Millerton, I think it is now. So it's a lot of mileage and a lot of stops and, you know, but Libby and Griffin, they're good to get it out and try to do as quickly as possible. But I think that, my printer had spoken about, either the 29th or the 30th of October that we should have it. So we hope to have it out and delivered everywhere before Halloween.
All right. And I want to ask you a question because you have students in the school systems over there, over here in Northwest Connecticut. Sharon is going to go to, remote learning. They closed yesterday because a teacher had COVID-19.
I heard.
And I know that North Canaan had three cases, and your village, nursing home, had cases as well. Are there any incidences like that going on in the Hudson or Harlan Valley that you're aware of, or? This came as a complete. Hotchkiss School even had some cases here. So, are things much calmer on the New York side of the border?
You know, it's funny. I got a press release on Friday from Sharon Hospital, as I'm sure you did as well, notifying us of clusters in Salisbury and Canaan. And then yesterday, I was speaking with my proofreader who lives in Salisbury, and she has children in the school districts, you know, over there. And she was telling me all about it and the number of cases. And, it was a little shocking and alarming. And, you know, that's hitting a little close to home. And when I told my husband last night, he was like, oh, well, we seem to be, you know, knock on wood. Nothing has happened so far over here. But as far as I know, there have been no school cases here. I mean, you know, Taconic Hills is our school district here in Columbia County, and they have been opened fully from the start, as far as I know. And I have some friends who are teachers there, and, you know, they fully expected to be open for maybe a week or two, because how could you not? But they're still open. And I live in the Pine Plains School District, and they have started to bring in the little kids, the little guys, and are trying to open up. And, you know, so far, so good. I think they're up to the middle school is starting to go back maybe this week. And then my daughter, her babysitter is in the Millbrook district, and she has children down there, and they're trying to open up down there with starting with the little guys in early November. And she knows some folks in the Arlington district, and so everyone compares notes. But as far as everyone that I have talked to, and the far that I know, in where I'm kind of located here in New York, I have heard of new cases, knock on wood.
You know, it's interesting. Yeah, because we give a lot of credit to the school district and everybody. They put protocols into place, and they catch these things right away. And all the work that was done over the course of the summer has paid off. But it's just it's one of those things where everybody knew sooner or later there was going to be a bump in the road. And so far, all the protocols have been put in place. So and it appears that everybody is safe and sound, and the people that have it are now quarantined, and we'll see what happens. But it's going to be a story that pops up, of course, over the course of the winter here in our tri-state region.
I mean, how can you not, with cold and flu season coming up? I mean, you know, 2 weeks ago I had a cold, and so of course you get paranoid and think it's, you know, something else, but it was just a really bad cold, and I was kind of sick for a day or two. And it's like, you know, you're afraid to cough now when you're amongst people.
That's right.
But, you know, the pediatricians are saying that all the schools, and the schools even tell parents this, that if your child even has allergies or looks like a cold, they will be sent home, and they can't return without a doctor's note. So there's going to be, I feel, a lot of, my personal opinion, a lot of chaos here come for the fall with, you know, just the regular run-of-the-mill cold and flu stuff. And, you know, I hope everyone is as healthy as possible, but it's, you know, we're humans. We get sick, you know, sometimes in the winter, and, you know, hopefully it's just a cold and nothing worse. But I hope just fear doesn't set in as well.
I'm just glad I grew up in the generation where you were always told to wash your hands no matter what, because there's three simple rules to follow: a social distance, wear a mask if you're within 6 feet of somebody, and wash your darn hands.
And just, you know, use common sense.
Yeah.
You know, we're all trying to get through this. Everyone's trying to stay healthy and safe. And so, you know, just respect boundaries and respect, you know, the people around you, and even, you know, strangers, respect strangers. That, you know, we're neighbors and we're all trying to stay healthy and, you know, trying to have as normal a life as possible. And certainly that applies to our kids. I mean, I feel horrible that, you know, so many of these kids are stuck at home in front of a screen all day. It's not healthy.
It's not healthy. Yeah. And it's not good for the psyche, actually.
No, it's not.
It takes the joy away from school, which is the relationships that you form with your fellow students and teachers. So.
Exactly. So they're in a tough spot, and we can do nothing but, you know, commend them for the job that they've done.
Absolutely. Well, Main Street Magazine, of course, on the web, mainstreetmag.com, and still at newsstands, and the new issue will be coming out in the next couple of weeks. Thorin, we'll speak to you next week.
Sounds terrific.
Take care. Everyone stay
healthy.
You too. Bye-bye. Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio. And once again, you can find Main Street Magazine on the web, mainstreetmag.com.